بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We pick up in today's session from the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. بل prior to the hijrah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, the hijrah of the companions رضوان الله عليهم, those who made hijrah and made the migration from them. You'll remember that we discussed the affair of the two bay'ah, the bay'ah al-aqaba al-ula wa-thaniya, and the fact that the bay'ah al-aqaba were the two pledges of allegiance that took place in two consecutive years prior to the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those two bay'ah were the muqaddima, or the introduction to the hijrah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. That is, it was by way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving da'wah in that region outside of Makkah that the people of Medina, they began to hear of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they heard of the da'wah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they were acquainted with his da'wah even prior to hearing it, and they were acquainted with the fact that he was the Messenger of Allah truly. For indeed the Yahud had been fighting with them and waging war against them for a period. And these wars that they were having with the Yahud were awaiting the coming of a messenger. They believed that that messenger was coming to them. But when the Messenger of Allah appeared, and he was from the Arab, and he was from the lineage of Ismail, and not from the lineage of Ishaq, it was that, of course, that caused them to reject the messenger, even though they knew that he alayhi salatu wasalam was truly the messenger that they were awaiting. And so when the people of Medina, since there were no Yahud, no people of the book other than small individuals, small number of individuals, but generally there were no people of the book in Makkah, but when the people of Makkah, upon the people of Medina, had heard of the appearance of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and an individual from the tribe of Quraysh claiming that he was a prophet from the prophets of Allah, and that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent him, and they made Hajj that year, since the pre-Islamic Arab were making Hajj in their own way, yani naked and what have you. But when they went to make Hajj and to perform Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ capitalized upon that period to give them da'wah. When he gave them da'wah and called them to Allah Azza wa Jal, they immediately accepted, and it shocked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam somewhat. And so they explained the sabab, they explained the reason. And that is that they said that indeed we have been in war with the people of Medina, yani with the Yahud within Medina for years. And they for years have been saying that they were awaiting the coming of a prophet who they will fight behind, and they would destroy them with the killing and the destroying of Ad and Thamud. And so they had been acquainted with hearing that a messenger was coming. And they knew that the Yahud were people of scripture, and people of the book, and people of knowledge. So when they heard that a man had appeared, and when they heard the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they paid attention to it and listened to it. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to them and sat with them in the period and during the Muslim of Hajj. They immediately accepted, knowing that this was the messenger that the Yahud were speaking of. And they said, when the Prophet ﷺ asked them concerning that, they said that verily we have been waging war with the Yahud, and they have been speaking of a messenger that was coming. And so when you said that you were the messenger of Allah, yani when the Prophet ﷺ called them to Allah, when you said that you were the messenger of Allah, we knew that you were the one that they were speaking of, and we said we were not going to let them beat us to you. And so they embraced Islam, a small number of them, and then Prophet ﷺ sent Mus'ab ibn Umair to give the people of Medina da'wah. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, he gave them da'wah, called them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taught them for the period of a year. And they returned with a larger number of individuals and those who were present behind them in Medina desiring to enter Islam. And that is on the basis of the da'wah of Mus'ab ibn Umair. And you remember we mentioned that Mus'ab ibn Umair was one who was spoiled by his parents before his Islam. And then when he embraced, they said, either you stay with Muhammad or we take from you this wealth that we've been given to you. And so Musa became poor and accompanied the Prophet ﷺ, learning from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. He became from Ahlul Sufa, those who used to live in the masjid. That was even after the migration from Makkah to Medina. In any case, when Musab returned with them, gave them da'u for a year, they returned with the messenger, a group of them, some 73 or so, and some 8 or 9 women, that is 73 or so men, 8 or 9 women, they returned desiring that the Prophet ﷺ come to them, and they gave another another pledge of allegiance, that was the pledge of allegiance that was witnessed by Abu Talib, who was protecting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was witnessed by other individuals from among the close ones that were present during the time or during that period. And during that period, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who were from the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they sat with the people of Medina, saying that we have protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, if you are going to give him this pledge of allegiance, then do not give him a pledge of allegiance and then forsake him, because they were doing a good job in protecting him. And so, they gave a pledge of allegiance that they would protect him in the same manner that they protect their women and their children. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon that, he gave the companions ridwanullahi alayhim the glad tidings, and it was shortly after that that permission was given to them to travel. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that indeed laqad ra'aytu dar hijratikum, that indeed I have seen your land or your place of hijrah, the place of your migration, and it is a place that is bayn alabatayn, it is a place that is between two areas of labatayn, is a reference to dark volcanic rock, and it was two sides of Medina are surrounded by this area, these areas of volcanic rock, and they are referred to as the labatayn, and to this day those areas are known, al-harra sharqiyya in Medina, and those areas are well known to this day. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said that I was shown the area of your hijrah, or the place of your hijrah, and I believed or I perceived that it was Yamama. But the Prophet ﷺ went on to mention that indeed it is the Medina of Yathrib. It is the Medina of Yathrib. And that occurs in the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, who mentioned the Prophet ﷺ, he said, رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أُهَاجِرُ إِلَى مَكَّةِ أو من مكة إلى أرض بها نخل فذهب وهلي إلى أنها اليمامة أو هجر فإذا هي المدينة يثرب. He said that indeed I saw in a dream, and the narration occurs in Sahih Muslim, I saw in a dream that I was to make migration from Mecca to a land that has around it nakhl, that is a land that is surrounded by date palm trees. And to this day, anyone who enters Medina, particularly if you travel from Mecca to Medina, when you enter Medina, and as you enter close to the area of Quba, you enter and there are still areas that are filled with date palm trees. And it was well known even at that time for that. He said, so I believe that it was Yamama or Hajar. Hajar, a place by Sham. He said, فَإِذَا هِيَ مَدِينَةِ يَثْرِبِ. He said, and then indeed I realized it was the city of Yathrib. So when the place of Hijrah was known to the companions, they began to migrate from Mecca to Medina. And the first of those who migrated was Abu Salama, and likewise Ibn Makhtum and others, who slowly began to move and leave. Bilal radiallahu anhu likewise left among those who migrated. And with some of them, ikhwan, there were some amazing stories concerning the sacrifice that they went through, even during the affair of the migration. And that is, even the migration itself was an affair that was not simple and was not easy for them, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. In relation to the affair of the migration of Abu Salama, then we have the story and the qissa, ikhwan, which is a relatively long story, and we'll mention it because of the beautiful nature of the narration, and it indicates clearly, ikhwan, that which the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, were upon, as we mentioned, from self-sacrifice and from concern for being with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for preserving and safeguarding their deen. To the extent, ikhwan, that some of them had their families split. And that was what occurred with Abu Salama and Salama. In that regard, we have the qissa, or the narration, the full narration. And we mention the narration of the migration of Abu Salama and Salama. In relation to the affair, then Salama, radiallahu anha, she narrates what occurred during the migration, because when they began to migrate, some of them left, and no one from among the tribe of Quraysh knew of them. No one from the Kuffar knew of them leaving, because of course it was something that was a threat to them. Now we have the believers. Initially they were present in Mecca. We know where they are, we know their number. Anyway, we have encompassed and surrounded them, and we, for the most part, have control over them. Now, if they're going to migrate and leave, we have a problem potentially on our hands. That is, they're going to migrate to another city, somewhere where we have no jurisdiction over them, somewhere that could possibly be affected by them and become and follow their way. That would then entirely necessitate that the believers would now have some strength. Now it would follow that that strength would partially be military strength. And of course there are various other issues that were causing them concern. And so they tried to prevent the believers from leaving, because if they could keep them in Mecca, then that was better. They could keep an eye on them, they could persecute and boycott them and other than that, keep them weak. But if they travel, they migrate, if they leave Mecca and they join another city, they travel to another city, then that is a problem. And so when they learn of the companions leaving, because from them were those who would leave and would not be recognized or noticed, that they're moving and migrating. But when the affair of the Hijra began to become widespread, and when the affair of the Hijra was the akhbar was spreading around Medina, around Mecca, then the people of Mecca, the kuffar of Mecca, they decided to attempt to prevent those who intended to migrate from migrating. From them were those who left, and from them were those who were prevented, and that is by their tribesmen and by their people. And as we mentioned, Abu Salama and Salama, this story, ikhwan, is an example of that. So Salama radiallahu anha, she said, لما أجمع أبو سلمة الخروج إلى المدينة رحل لي بعيره ثم حملني عليه وحمل معي ابني سلمة ابن أبي سلمة في هجري. She said that when Abu Salama decided that it was time to make the hijrah, and he was firm upon traveling and leaving, he brought my riding beast, or the riding beast that I was to travel upon, to me, namely the camel, and then he placed me upon it. He said, and he gave me my son Salama, Ibn Abi Salama, and placed him in my lap. She said, ثم خرج بي يقود بي البعير. He said, then he left pulling the camel with me. She said, فلما رأته رجال أو رجال بني المغيرة قاموا إليه. She said, So when the Rijal of Bani al-Mughira, when the men of the tribe of Bani al-Mughira saw him, they stood to him and they said, هذه نفسك غلبتنا عليها أرأيت صاحبتك هذه على ما نتركك تسير بها في البلاد. He said, you have overpowered us in relation to yourself. Yani we have no control over you. But as far as this companion of yours, yani his wife, because they were her tribe. As far as this companion of yours, yani your wife, then on what basis are you traveling with her? And on what basis are you leaving with her? She said, رضي الله عنها وأرضاها, قالت فنزعوا خطام البعير من يديه فأخذوني منه. And so they snatched the reins from his hand and they took me with them. She mentions, وغضب عند ذلك بنو عبد الأسد رهط أبي سلمة. So she said, so when that occurred, yani when they snatched the reins and took me, بنو عبد الأسد, the tribe of Abu Salama, they became upset. And they said, لا والله لا نترك ابننا عندها إذ نزعتموها من صاحبنا. They said, لا والله, we're not going to leave our son with her. You're taking her back from her, you're taking her from her husband, and separating her from her husband. لا والله, we're not going to leave our son, that's our son. Yani because the rijal, the boys are from the tribe of the father. It occurs in those lines of poetry. أبناؤنا بنو بنينا وأبناء بناتنا أبناء رجال أباعدي. That our sons are our sons, while the sons of our daughters are the sons of some other men. And that was the attitude. So our son's son, that he's one of us, he's one of our tribesmen. As far as her, you can take your daughter. But that boy is one of our tribe. So Banu Abd al-Asad, they became angry. No, you're not going to take him with you. So they took the son. So here we have Salama. They took the son. And Abu Salama, who no one had any power over, خلاص, he migrated. رضي الله عنه. نعم, she mentions, they said, لا والله لا نترك ابننا عندها إذ نزعتموها من صاحبنا. قالت فتجاذبوا أبو سلمة بينهم حتى خلعوا يده وانطلق به أبو عبد الأسد وهبسني أبو المغيرة أو بنو المغيرة عندهم. So initially they took Abu Salama. Yani they pulled him and took him. And my tribe kept me. نعم, she said, فانطلق زوجي أبو سلمة إلى المدينة. And so my zawj, he migrated to Medina. Because we got one or two options. Either stay in Mecca, which is not an option. Everybody's making migration to Mecca, to Medina. Afwan, either stay in Mecca, which is not an option. Everybody's making migration to Medina with the Messenger of Allah. They've kept his wife, and they have kept his son. So, either we stay here, mutafarriqeen, either we stay here apart, or he migrates, and then yani we work on getting everyone over. So perhaps his view was migrate, establish a home in Medina, And then we work out how we're going to get my wife and children with me. Naturally, it wasn't just migrate, leave, خلاص. يعني قدر الله وما شفاه. And he migrated, but no doubt Allah Azza wa Jal had a plan for them. Naam. So she said, so Abu Salama, he migrated to Medina. فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ زَوْجِي وَبَيْنَ إِبْنِي. And so, there was a split between me, my zawj, my husband, and my son. She said, فَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ كُلَّ غَدَاتٍ فَأَجْلِسُ بِالْأَبْطَحِ فَمَا أَزَالُ أَبْكِي حَتَّى أُمْسِي. She said, so I would go out every day. She would sit down in a particular place. She said, and I would sit down and I would cry until the evening. I would sit and I would cry until the evening. She said, Hatta umsi sanatan aw qariban minha. And that continued for a year or somewhere in the region of a year. And in that she sat every single day, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what happened to her husband, not knowing what's happening with her son. And she would come out, sit down and cry. For 1 year, complete or close to a year. حتى مر بي رجل من بني عمي أحد بني المغيرة فرأى ما بي فرحمني. She said, until a man from one of my uncle's sons passed, any one of the tribe passed and saw me and had mercy upon me. She said, نعم. فقال لبني المغيرة ألا تخرجون هذه المسكينة. So he went back to the tribesmen and said, won't you allow this miskina to leave, this poor woman? And every day she's sitting down crying till the evening, every single day, 1 year coming, allow her to leave. ففرقتم بينها وبين زوجها وبين ولدها. قالت فقالوا لي الحقي بزوجك إن شئت. He said, you've separated between her husband, her child, her son. So they said to me, go and join your husband if you please. Go and join your husband if you please. فرد بنو عبد الأسد إلي عند ذلك ابني. And so Abu Salama's tribe, when they heard that, they had said that, they said, alright, خلاص, you can have your son. Yani, if you're going to join your husband, then you're going to be with him, you can have him back. As far as our son staying with them, fala. But if you are being allowed now to travel, make the migration, خلاص, you can have your son back. And so they gave me my son back. She said, فارتحلت بعيري أو فارتحلت بعيري ثم أخذت ابني فوضعته في حجري ثم خرجت أريد زوجي بالمدينة. And so I went with my ba'ir, with my camel. I went and I collected my son, and then I set out seeking my husband in Medina. She said, وما معي أحد من خلق الله. She said, and there was no one with me from the creation of Allah. قالت فقلت أتبلغ بمن لقيت حتى أقدم على زوجي. She said, أو أقدم على زوجي. She said that I'm just going to try and find someone to travel with until I get to my husband. She said, حتى إذا كنت بالتنعيم لقيت عثمان بن طلحة بن أبي طلحة أخا بني عبد الدار. She said, until I reached Tan'im, and any of you have traveled to Medina or traveled to Mecca, then you will be familiar with Tan'im. It is a place that now has Masjid Aisha in it. It is the place that Aisha radiallahu anha, during Hajj, when she came on her menses and was unable to perform the Umrah at the beginning of Hajj, it was where, when the Prophet ﷺ permitted her to make Umrah at the end of Hajj, that was where she went to begin or enter into Ihram, which is the first place outside of the Haram of Mecca. So she went to Tan'im. She said, by the time I got to Tan'im, she met or she saw in Tan'im Uthman ibn Talha ibn Abi Talha, and he was from the tribe of Bani Abd al-Dar. She said, فَقَالَ لِي إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَا بِنْتَ أَبِي أُمَيَّةِ. And so he said, where are you going, O daughter of Abi Umayya? So she said, قُلْتُ أُرِيدُ زَوْجِي بِالْمَدِينَةِ. She said, I intend to travel to my husband in Medina. قَالَ أَوَمَا مَعَكِ أَحَدٍ. So he said, and there is no one with you? And you by yourself? قَالَتْ قُلْتُ لَا وَاللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَبَنِي. He said, by Allah, no, other than Allah and my son. So she said, he said, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ مَا لَكِ مِن مَتْرَكِ. She said, he said to me, that you will not, then if that is the case, then you will not be abandoned. Yani, I won't abandon you. فَأَخَذَ بِخِطَامِ الْبَيْرِ. And so he took hold of the reins of the camel. فَانْطَلَقَ مَعِي يَهْوِي بِي. And so he took hold of the reins of the camel and he began to walk with the reins of the camel. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا صَحِبْتُ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْعَرَبِ قَتْ أَرَى أَنَّهُ كَانَ أَكْرَمَ مِنْهُ. She said, by Allah, I have not accompanied an individual from the Arab قَتْ يعني ever that I saw to be more noble than him. And she explains why. كَانَ إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلْ أَنَاخَ بِي ثم استأخر عني حتى إذا نزلت استأخر ببعيري. He said that when we would come to somewhere that we would take a stop or a rest, he would lower the ba'ir, he would lower the camel so that she could get off. He would lower the camel, then he would walk away. Then when she got off, he came back. He would take the camel and then he would distance himself from her with the camel. And then she says, حتى إذا نزلت استأخر ببعيري فحط عنه ثم قيده في شجرة. Then he would go and he would tie it to a tree. نعم. He mentioned, ثم تنحى فإذا دنا الرواح قام إلى بعيري فقدمت فقدمه فرحله ثم استأخر عني. She said, and this is one of the versions. In one version, he mentioned that he would go. He would tie the camel by a tree and he would just sit under the tree and wait for her till she was ready. Then, when she was ready, he would untie the camel. He would bring it back over to her. He would lower the camel. He would move away. He would allow her to get back on the camel, then he would come back and he would pull and continue to pull the camel. فَإِذَا دَنَ الرَّوَاحِ قَامَ إِلَى الْبَعِيرِ. And she continues to explain that this is what he continued to do. And then the only thing that he said was, إِرْكَبِي. He would say, يعني get on the camel. فَإِذَا رَكِبْتُ وَاسْتَوَيْتُ عَلَى بَعِيرِ أَتَى فَأَخَذَ بِخِطَامِهِ فَقَادَهُ حَتَّى يَنْزِلَ بِي. He said, then when I was on the camel, he would come back and then he would take onto the reins and he would continue to walk or to travel with me. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَصْنَعْ ذَلِكَ بِي حَتَّى أَقْدَمِ الْمَدِينَةِ أَوْ حَتَّى أَقْدَمَنِ الْمَدِينَةِ. She said that he continued to do this with me until he brought me close to Medina, or brought me to Medina. فَلَمَّا نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ قَرْيَةِ بَنِي عَمْرِ إِبْنِ عَوْفِ بِقُبَى قَالَ زَوْجُكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. He said, so when he came to the area of Banu Amr ibn Auf, he said to her, your husband is in this area. Yani, this is in the region of Quba. فَقَالَ وكان أبو سلمة بها نازلا فأدخلني على بركة الله ثم انصرف راجعا إلى مكة. She said, then he handed me over to my husband, and then he turned around and returned back to Mecca. فكان, and if anyone is traveling from Mecca to Medina, even on a coach, إخوان, even on a coach, is traveling 120 miles an hour. يعني مطعب. يعني on a coach takes you 5-6 hours. And here they were doing that on a slow moving camel. He said, so when he handed me over, he turned around and he returned back to Mecca. Then she said again, والله ما أعلم أهل بيت في الإسلام أصابهم ما أصابني. After saying that, والله I haven't seen, or after he done what he did, she said, by Allah, I do not know a household in Islam أصابهم ما أصاب آل آل أبي سلمة. He said, by Allah, I do not know a household in Islam that was affected by that which was affected by the household of Abi Salama. And then she mentioned, وَمَا رَأَيْتُ صَاحِبًا قَدْ كَانَ أَكْرَمَ مِنْ عُثْمَانِ بْنِ طَلْحَةِ. And she said, I have not seen anyone accompany anyone ever that was more noble than Uthman ibn Talha. And so here we see, Ikhwana, an example of the su'ub and the difficulties that they went through. Here we have, Ikhwan, just for the migration, here we have Salama sitting for a year crying. Her son, she doesn't know what's happening with him. Her husband doesn't know what's happening with his wife and his son. All, Ikhwan, in the way of migrating for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carrying out that which they know will alleviate their sins. For indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in the hadith of Amr ibn al-As, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ala ta'lam, do you not know that Islam removes that which comes before it, and that Hajj removes that which comes before it, and that Hijrah removes that which comes before it. That is, Hijrah, like Hajj, the migration, like Hajj, has in it the alleviation of one's sins. Similarly, we have the affair of Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib, radiallahu anhu, of course, Ikhwan, in his asl was Rumi, yani he was Roman. Actually, Suhaib was Persian. Hakikat al-Amr. Suhaib was a Persian that was enslaved by the Romans. And so in his asl, he was actually Pharisee. But because he was enslaved by the Romans, his father, like his parents likewise, he grew among them. And so he grew as a Roman. So Suhaib, when he was present and migrated, or when he embraced in Mecca, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Suhaib with wealth. He was a wealthy man. When the time for the migration came, Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he informs of the fact that Quraysh, they said to him, Ataytana su'lukan haqira. They said to him, no, you've come to us poor and miserable. They said, فَكَثُرَ مَالُكَ عِنْدَنَا. And now you're wealthy, you've become wealthy with us. And in our land, and from trading with our people, you've become wealthy here. So they said, وَبَلَغْتَ الَّذِي بَلَغْتَ. And you've reached that which you've now reached. ثُمَّ تُرِيدُ أَن تَخْرُجَ بِمَالِكَ وَنَفْسِكَ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ. Now you want to leave with your wealth and yourself? No, that's not going to happen. Wallahi, it's not going to happen. And of course, Ikhwan, we're not dealing with, look, you have to, because oftentimes we envision that it's just a few Bedouin type individuals that, yani, these were leaders. These were at that time from some of the most well-known affluent, notable leaders within the Arabian Peninsula, yani they weren't sahal. It wasn't sahal easy, you could just do what you want to do. Rather, if they said that you're not going to go, you're not going. Yahi. Now, so he said, they said, wallahi la yakun. You're not going to leave now with your wealth. فقال لهم سهيب أرأيتم إن جعلت لكم مالي أتخلون سبيلي. He said, okay, if do you see then, if I give you my wealth, you can take it, you leave me, let me go. And so they said, nah. He said, فإني جعلت لكم مالي. He said, then in that case, I give you all of my wealth. Take it. فبلغ ذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ربح صهيب ربح صهيب. That reached the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said ربح صهيب. Indeed, صهيب has profited. صهيب has profited. Naturally, if a person loses his wealth, يعني, in normal terms, he's become bankrupt. But here, صهيب, and he has earned. It wasn't something that may be physically seen, but what he has done, that was a tremendous exchange by way of which Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he earned this great station and this great statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, establishing the fact that he has benefited from this exchange. So, ikhwan, there are many examples, no doubt, of the migration of the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Similarly, the migration of Umar radiallahu anhu, he migrated with some 20 individuals alongside him, and Umar was not yani the qissa, as of course many of you are aware. It was not as many of the books of seerah mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu, he went out in front of the people gathered or stood before the people and said, I am Umar, and whoever doesn't want to see his mother tomorrow, then come and stop me, or try and stop me if you wish. No doubt they were acquainted with Umar. They were acquainted with his strength and with his quwwa and the great honor and respect that they had for him. But when Umar radiallahu anhu made the migration, then he migrated in a manner that was similar to the other companions. That is, he did so secretly. He did not make the migration public. Rather, he migrated secretly with some 20 individuals from those who migrated alongside the other companions. In relation then to the affair of the migration, we have the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Kathir radiallahu or rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he makes mention of that which is connected to the lead up to the migration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we look at next week. But he mentioned here that indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adhina lil muslimina, that is in his book Al-Fusul. He said, أَذِنَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَمَّا تَمَّتْ هَذِهِ الْبَيْعَةِ إِسْتَأَذَنُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَمِيلُوا عَلَى أَهْلِ الْعَقَبَةِ فَلَمْ يَأَذَنْ لَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ بَلْ أَذِنَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ بَعْدَهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَبَادَرَ النَّاسُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. That is, after the bay'ah, bay'at al-aqaba, those who had taken the bay'ah, taken the pledge of allegiance, they sought from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight against the people of Aqaba, the people in that region. let's wage war. After these years of persecution, let's wage war. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented them from that. But what he did permit was that the believers were permitted to migrate from Mecca to Medina. So when the believers learned of that, this is when we saw the beginnings of this migration. He mentions, rahimahullah, بَلْ أَذِنَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ بَعْدَهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَبَادَرَ النَّاسِ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فبادر الناس إلى ذلك، فكان أول من خرج إلى المدينة من أهل مكة أبو سلمة ابن عبد الأسد، هو وامرأته أم سلمة. He said that the first of those who migrated was Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Asad and his wife Umm Salama. فاحتسبت دونه ومنعت سنة من اللحاق. He mentions that indeed she was prevented though from traveling and I had to remain in Mecca and wasn't unable to join him. وهيل بينهما أو هيل بينها وبين ولدها ثم خرجت بعد سنة بولدها إلى المدينة. He mentions that indeed she was prevented not only from making hijra but likewise prevented from her son, and that continued for a period of a year. And then she traveled, or it was permitted for her to travel to Medina. وشيعها عثمان بن طلحة. And she was accompanied by عثمان بن طلحة. And he mentioned, فيقال إن أبا سلمة هاجر قبل العقبة الأخير فالله أعلم ثم خرج الناس إرسالا. نعم. He mentions that it was said though that Abu Salama migrated before the last Bay'at al-Aqaba. That he migrated before the last Bay'at, the second Bay'at al-Aqaba. He said, Wallahu A'lam. And that was mentioned by some, but what is most correct and what is mashhur is that he migrated after the Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, after the second Bay'at al-Aqaba. Then Al-Imam Kathir, he mentions, and then the people, they traveled in groups thereon after, or they traveled each of them following the other. Then he mentions Fasl, section concerning the hijrah and the migration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَّا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, no one remained from the Muslimin illa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa Abu Bakr wa Ali. The Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, aqama bi amrihi lahuma. They remained due to his command to them. That is, he commanded them to remain. Wa khala when اعتقله المشركين كرها. This affair of them remaining and them staying back, again, that was something that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Abu Bakr with, and he commanded Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr and Ali radiallahu anhu with that. And that of course was for a wisdom, and the wisdom as it relates to Abu Bakr was that the Prophet ﷺ was to accompany Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr was to accompany the Messenger upon the migration. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she informed of the affair of the news reaching Abu Bakr Siddiq, that is, the Prophet ﷺ told him to stay back, and the command to stay back initiated question from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, As-suhba ya Rasulullah? He said, companionship, O Messenger of Allah, yani, am I to accompany you? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-suhba ya Abu Bakr. He said, As-suhba. He said, you are to accompany me. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Wallahi, I did not believe that a man could cry out of happiness when I saw, or until I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cry when he was informed that he was to accompany the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the migration from Mecca to Medina. And that migration, or the qissa and the story of the migration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alongside Abu Bakr, and what led up to the migration of the Messenger, we'll look at inshallah in next week's session. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.